Good morning, everybody. Good morning, friends. We are so glad that you are here. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister of this congregation. Although it's better for me to describe this congregation as a priesthood of all believers. We all share in the work and the sounds and the shape of this congregation, no matter if we meet in person or if we're scattered across the city or the state or nations even, like we are this morning. We're so glad again that you're here today, no matter where you find yourself, if you are also watching live, if you're watching later, if you're listening to this audio version via the website tomorrow morning after King posted it, we're glad that you're here. Make sure to check in, please. Let us know who is with you, who is watching. Many of you are already doing that. I can see that. One of my favorite parts is after someone checks in, watching all the like and love buttons that you hit, letting them know that you see them, that you care for them, that that you know that they are present. Keep doing that. I think that is fantastic. It's also good to be back with you this morning. Chelsea, Cora, and I, we got to drive all over Texas last week, a week and a half ago. We visited Chelsea's grandparents' graves up in the far panhandle. We visited my grandparents' graves in far west Texas. We got to put a few miles on our hiking boots, so we're very thankful for that. Thankful to have a Sunday off where we could simply watch and receive a word, just like the rest of you via Facebook Live. Last week we saw Maggie pray the Lord's Prayer so well. We saw Ruby light the Christ candle. The two of you, thank you for doing that. You did fantastic. Thank you. For Lucy, for welcoming us, for calling us to receive this time as a blessing. I like that phrase. Lucy, thank you for doing that. Michael sang over us. Steve preached from Acts chapter 10. I'm grateful for you all. We are going to share in the Lord's Supper today, so now's a good reminder to get your supplies ready, whatever you have on hand, bread-wise, drink-wise, that is all okay. And get ready to approach today as always, being present here for this 30 minutes or so, bringing what you have, ready to hear a word that God's Spirit may have for us. Today, in the moment, Chelsea will come read our psalm for today. Cora will light our Christ candle. She will also pray the Lord's Prayer over us. We have our brother Lupe here who will sing a song of prayer over us. So, Chelsea, come on up. Let's begin with our psalm for today.
Good morning, church. Today, our psalm comes from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increases. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he had made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed for me his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word of Him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, and he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, a weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, a weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. I know not when my friend Lord come on almighty born on the day. I know him in the air. But I hold my head, believe it, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Okay. Ay. Okay. Oh my goodness.
You're okay.
I'll tell you, Lupe singing, these are holy moments. These are really good moments. His heart to spirit shines through in these, and I'm extremely grateful that we as a congregation get to receive that. So Lupe, thank you for blessing us today with your voice, with your words. We're thankful for that. All right, for our young friends, you should have a Leaves bulletin that looks something like this. This is for you. You heard Miss Chelsea read from Psalm 67 a few moments ago. On the back, we have a couple of activities for you to engage in during this next part of our service. So we are so thankful that you are with us. And so thank you for that. Let's pray together and I'll continue. O God, you are our God. Earnestly we seek you. Pour through me now the gift of preaching, that your goodness and your grace might shine through. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen. If If you are just joining us on our Facebook Live services, or if you've missed a few of them, or even if you have been a part of every single one and heard every single word I've said over the previous 2 months, still, I'd like to recap for a moment what we're doing and why. This is the 10th straight Sunday we've been preaching from the book of Acts, or 12th, if you go all the way back to Pentecost, which happened at the end of May. Acts is this incredible account of how the church came to be after Jesus' resurrection. The twists and turns of the days and years encapsulated in written form has somehow survived the centuries between now and then, and we have their story that informs our own. Most certainly, the general and political worldview then is different than it is now, not to mention our inundation with technologies and understanding of sciences and the invention of baseball. But since people are people are people, and because passed down stories shape who we are, the book of Acts and the birth of the church has something to say to us today. In the last 10 or 12 weeks, we've asked Acts to teach us again what it means to be the church, given the high-stakes pressure situations that we've been experiencing since March. The pandemic, of course, and its lingering effects will undoubtedly influence the church for a generation or two to come, including cleansing us of trivial issues and unthinking arrangements. Likewise, the killing of George Floyd also changes us, bluntly reminding us, those of us who have the luxury to forget, that is, that black lives really do matter. Like seeds that open only under the searing heat of fire, the church and our congregation has yet another opportunity to re-envision who we as the people of Jesus the Christ are. Who knows what all this sowing in chaos will do? Who knows what is being planted? Who knows what will bloom out of the ash-covered ground? If Acts tells us anything, it's this: that the Holy Spirit of God is at work in places often unseen and overlooked. This is not an accident, but a gift of Jesus, whose ongoing, life-giving, exhaling breath is always and forever forming a people for the kingdom of God. With Acts as our chauffeur, then, we've been listening and learning and discerning from the stories of old. It's way too much to recap here. Feel free to go back to any of our services still posted on this Facebook page or to our church website to hear any of those. This morning, we're going to skip a few chapters, going to Acts chapter 16. I don't mean this as a slight to the sections we're jumping. You should definitely read them this week, not only for its dramatic and comedic effect, like how Peter escapes from prison, but also to explore how the Jewish church responds to outsider Gentiles like Cornelius being let in. The first ever Christian conference convenes in chapter 15 to discuss all that with the high-profile disciples there to keynote the event. By chapter 16, we find that the news about the resurrected Jesus is spreading further and faster than previously thought. Doors are opening. Rejoicing fills the street. Persecution is happening. The church is on the move. After Paul leaves the Jerusalem conference, though, we learn that he and his longtime colleague Barnabas have a falling out of epic proportions over personnel decisions, and a shocking split happens. Paul goes his own way and Barnabas goes his. Paul to the northwest, Barnabas to the southwest. Nevertheless, Paul and his entourage pick up steam and additional team members as they travel along, encouraging small churches and starting new ones. Yet once Paul reaches the far regions of the area, he finds that they cannot go any further. The Holy Spirit prevents them from going northeast past the Asian provinces of Phrygia and Galatia. Nor can they go north into Bithynia. The Spirit of Jesus, the text says, does not allow them to go on. So what now? The little troop marches westward toward Troas to regroup, unsure of what to do next. It's in this town where our text picks up this morning, verse 9, if you are following along in your Bible. Paul has a vision in the middle of the night, a man who says, "Come to Macedonia and help us." It's entirely vague, but there is finally a whiff of direction. And the next day they purchase one-way tickets across the Aegean Sea into Europe. And it's the first time the message of Jesus reaches that continent. Philippi is the largest city in Macedonia, so that's where they head and stay for several days. On the Sabbath, good Jews that Paul and his company are, they seek out a place of prayer. If mountains are not available, then bodies of water will do just fine if you are looking to spend some time alone with God. The group goes to the river just outside the city walls. It's here that they will pray. They will not be alone, however, for the location is already taken. It's not the man from the vision, as one might suppose, but a group of women who love God, one of whom is Lydia. In just two verses, Lydia, like Tabitha from 2 weeks ago, captivates us, intrigues us, draws us in. We name our children after her. And then she's not heard from again, other than a brief mention at the end of the story we'll talk about next week. What we know about her fascinates us. She hails from Thyatira, a city within just a few miles of where Paul had passed by in Asia while he was on his way to Europe. She owns her own company in Philippi. She sells purple fabric, which means a couple of things. One, only the elite class wore purple anything. It was expensive to make, and only the upper echelon of society could afford it. This is her clientele. Two, it means that Lydia, as a seller of purple, has some financial means too. She is not hurting for money. Lydia is a successful, independent businesswoman, making her way in a Roman culture dictated by men. She is also a worshiper of God. Even as a Gentile, she feels the pull to the God of the Jews. Something about that God speaks to her. She goes to the river to seek the God that has been seeking her all along. As Paul begins talking to Lydia and the other women, we read that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. As a result, she becomes the very first European to love Jesus. What we have here is Acts' version of eager to listen Mary and to-do list Martha, melding the best parts of both into one. Even in the brevity of what we know of her, worship and work both have their right place in her life. We see that unmistakably as worship becomes baptism in the river, and as work becomes generous hospitality, opening her home to Paul. It's fascinating to think how this whole story transpired, what had to happen in order for all of this to happen. Paul and Barnabas going separate ways, all the regions Paul had intended to go to blocked off, a vision of a man from a different continent asking Paul for help, Lydia setting up shop in Philippi, Lydia somehow hearing about the God of the Jews and learning to love that God, Lydia's inclusion into a community of women who gather to worship, and here, down by the river, a chance encounter with a group of travelers who've journeyed hundreds of miles, armed with nothing but a hope and a message, courageous enough to speak of the risen Christ who redeems brokenness and ushers forth a fresh kingdom. Thinking about all that, how did it happen? Was God in heaven pulling puppet strings? Marionette Paul and marionette Lydia making their way to each other because God didn't give anyone a chance or a choice? Was it all luck or fate or destiny, or did the stars align just so? How did this Riverside conversion come to be? There's a lot left to our imagination, of course, with more questions and answers, and that's okay. In any case, we recognize a convergence of divine guidance and human faithfulness. Paul and Lydia and God's Spirit all work together in this Riverside event. Paul was open to being led by God, compelled by mission and purpose, one step and one vision and one boat ride at a time. Lydia was open to seeking God, consciously deciding not to go into the office that day, but to the water's edge instead, so that she could worship with her community. God's Spirit was stirring in both of them, acting in and through all things, near and far, short time and long, calling forth the kingdom of God and the seemingly impossible. It's yet another reminder that God's Holy Spirit is creating a kind of community that we could never create on our own. Changing a morning full of supposed to's into anything but. And as a result, lives are transformed. Households are baptized. Hospitality is offered and received. And soon, a church is born. A mission is charged. The Philippians letter is written. And 2 millennia later, we carry the story within ourselves. Call it what you will. Divine appointment. Random meeting, a mystery even. But let's also call it grace. This relentless and redeeming pursuit of God toward all God's creation of which we are a part. Our individual stories bear the lasting marks of journeys that have taken us to people and places we never could have foreseen, leaving upon us wellsprings of joy, as well as scars of sorrow. Our collective congregational story could say the same thing, and yet here we are today with breath in our lungs, meeting as we are, sustained by the Holy Spirit, commissioned in the name of Jesus, even during pandemics and injustices. So we wonder, is something essential happening to us, changing us where it matters? Can we trust the Spirit to form something new in us, speaking to our conditions in the name of Jesus? It is to this that we pray and we pray and we pray. As a people of Jesus who follow Him into the unknown, let us remain available to God, open to the Spirit's guidance, and responding in faithfulness. Grace meets us there, and we, the church, are changed for good. And together, friends, we say aloud or type, Amen and Amen. We continue to pray our way through Acts as we've done each and every week through this series. Today, our brother Jesse Gay prays over us. Chelsea will post his prayer in just a moment. I saw Jesse yesterday walking through the neighborhood, talking about Scripture to people he came across. I so appreciate his genuineness, his heart. I miss Jesse's in-person prayer over us, so I will do my very best to represent him. Let's pray together. Let every one of God's children say this prayer. I believe in God's word and have received God's salvation. Jesus Christ said, if you are willing and obedient and believe in God, our Father will help and answer all your needs. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said to trust in God's love and to trust God at his word. Jesus Christ said, let each one of you who have received God's salvation and glory and joy have faith in your heart and in your prayers. Jesus Christ said, the favor and faith of God will be with you. And God said, sit down with your children and your family and say, God, I pray that you have answered me and my family members and my friends. God, you said your children, as your children show up, you also show up for me and my family and my church family. God, I will always love you. Continue with your love, and I will always be obedient, and I will praise you. Glory be to you who is watching over the neighborhood. Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesse. Glory be to you who is watching over the neighborhood. I love that phrase. Let's let that become our prayer for this week. And maybe other parts of Jesse's prayer now usher you and lead you in prayer as we join one another in presence, but also separate here at the Lord's table, Jesus' body and blood meeting us here, present among us. So with your bread and your cup before you, let's spend a few moments eating and drinking together.
It never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love, your love. And on and on and on and on it goes. Yes, it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never, ever have to be afraid. This one thing.
I want to remind you also that this is our time where we talk about our offering, our tithing, our giving to the continued work in this place, in this neighborhood. So your offerings and your tithes can be given through the mail. You can bring it up to the church office. You can also go onto our church website and do it that way as well. Thank you for your continuance and your financial contributions to the work that goes on here. Thank you. Couple of family matters to share with you. In a couple of weeks, on September 3rd, our Thursday Bible class will start meeting, not in person, but on Zoom. Andrea Engel has been doing a great job getting all that together. If you want to be a part of the Thursday Bible class, I think it starts at 10:30 on Thursdays, right, King? 10:30 on Thursdays. This will be September 3rd, the first one. If you want to be a part of that, please contact the church office and let King know so that we can include you on that invitation list. You can either do video on Zoom, or you can call in with your phone. Either way is just fine. We'll put more information in newsletters this upcoming week and the weeks to follow leading up to that. So make sure to contact King if you want to be a part of that. Speaking of newsletters, maybe last week you saw that the Waltman family has decided to join in the work that goes on in this neighborhood, and we are so thankful for that. We love the Waltmans. If you don't know them yet, you can be excused because of this pandemic, obviously. We definitely look forward to getting to know them better and watching how they contribute to the good work in this neighborhood and community. Which is a good way to remind you that you too, if you are not a recognized part of this community, you can be as well. You can just let me know and we can have that conversation. Yesterday, many of you have, and some of you have asked me about the food distribution from the Houston Food Bank, sponsored by the YMCA here. Chelsea, Cora, and I got to be a part of that yesterday morning. It was fantastic. It was a great turnout. We saw a lot of folks who came to get food that they needed to fill their pantries. We had a good number of volunteers from the YMCA. I will post some pictures on this Facebook page tomorrow, so heads up on that. And know that we're doing this again on August 29th. August 29th will be our next one. All right, in benediction today, hear these words from Paul to the church in Philippi, which is where he met Lydia. Hear his words from this letter. This is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced a harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. May it be so for us as well. Go forth in peace and in purpose. Love to you all.